FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's January 9th, 2018. Well, looks like gold has kind of hit a little resistance point here. Will it go further? Well, we're not sure yet, but at some point, it almost certainly will. Perhaps a little later in the year. Where are we with the U.S. dollar, with stock markets? Do they just keep going up forever? And what about cryptocurrencies as well? Hey, well, first, be part of the show. Send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, or use the Twitter feed @KerryLutz. And, well, person you're about to hear from, been on the show many times, Christopher Mullen, thetechnicaltraders.com. And Chris, hey, welcome back and happy new year.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Kerry. Appreciate it. Happy new year to you.
And I appreciate that too. So we're in 2018 now. Trends are a play. Cycles seem to be telling us something. What are the tea leaves telling you? Particularly start with precious metals, dollar, stock markets, and then we'll go into a little cryptocurrency if we have time left.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, there's a lot to kind of cover the markets. There's a lot going on when you look at the weekly charts, the big picture analysis, you look at fundamentals, you look at market sentiment, you whip it all together and you kind of overlay the charts. And a lot of things are pointing to the same, to some pretty crazy price action in the second half of 2018. Looking at precious metals, we've had a really nice rally. We were more or less nailed a bottom about 4 weeks ago with crude oil, or sorry, with gold expecting to have a pretty decent multi-week rally, which we have. It was actually a bit stronger than we anticipated. And it's strong enough across the whole precious metal sector, miners and silver included, that this seems to be a fairly significant leg to the upside that I think has kind of changed the trend back to more or less to a sideways consolidation here. And the cycle analysis based on both short-term and long-term are pointing to a significant bottom in precious metals, more or less around April, May of this year. And that also bodes, or more or less bodes well with what the U.S. dollar is saying. And the U.S. dollar cycle and Fibonacci extensions and cycle count, all those things are pointing to more or less a significant low in commodities in April, May, and a significant top in the dollar. And the dollar here is actually set up as of pretty much this week. The dollar index is set to rally for a few months at this point. And I think that's why we're going to see some weakness in precious metals at this point. But overall, the weakness that we're going to see could just be a consolidation. We might see a bit of a pullback here in gold, silver, and miners. But this, I think, could be one of the last pauses in the market before we see precious metals actually take a run at breaking out of this multi-year basing formation that the sector has been building. So really exciting coming around the second half of 2018 for precious metals.
It's interesting because, you know, we've predicted at least 12 out of the last two advances in precious metals. You know, it's really been kind of frustrating there.
Yeah, it's, things are setting up for a really amazing back half of 2018. And I think we're getting into some increased volatility. While volatility is low right now, that's one of the reasons why I think we're going to start to see price across the board and asset classes start to chatter. We're going to see a little bit of price volatility in equities, in commodities. Everything's going to start kind of shaking, having some bigger up days, bigger down days, price gaps. Things I think are going to get a little bit sloppy looking forward a few months until the momentum that each kind of asset class kind of slows and kind of neutralizes. And then eventually they're all going to reverse and we're going to see some pretty significant moves.
So good question here. So we're looking at the stock market had this unbelievable run last year. The Dow Jones Industrials up 25%+. The emerging markets up 34%. And it's the most unloved bull market probably in history. And everyone says, well, how much longer can it go on? Well, how much longer can it go on? Are we coming to an end?
You know, we are coming to an end, but we are still in an extremely strong bull market. And, you know, back in January of 2016, the markets were on the verge of breaking down. We actually saw the small caps. We saw transportation index. They had already technically broken down and started a bear market. The only thing holding the markets on more or less were the FANGs, the large caps. And they were in that was January 2016. If they had closed down near the lows of for the month, we would have more or less triggered a bear market and it would have been lights out and we would have seen a huge rollover. The markets kind of were saved by Trump. He more or less trumped the market. The first year of a presidential cycle is typically a very strong year for stocks and more or less it just happened in the nick of time. People anticipating obviously the new year with president and then all these favorable tax rules. Everything has just gone parabolic. And if you look at market sentiment, you look at price action and volume flows, we are in that the psychology of the market, we are in that kind of euphoria stage where every investor now is happy. Every investor can make money. You just buy whatever you want, mm-hmm. just buy it. It's going up. Everybody is feeling like $1 million. Their accounts have grown and everybody's just piling in. This is the point. There's no fear in the market whatsoever. People are not hedging any bets to the downside. And this is it. This could extend. These euphoric stages are huge. And we could top out tomorrow. We could rally another 10, 15% from here. We don't know. So at this point, you've got to trade on the bullish side. Be extremely defensive. You're looking for short-term plays. You don't want to just put in long-term investment capital here by any means because you'll probably get slaughtered. But, you know, we're in a ripping bull market and you can pretty much buy any dip at this point and you should be saved, you know, within a day or two.
That's amazing. Hey, so what do you think you get the most bang for the buck with the least amount of risk at this point in the market cycle, Chris?
To me, I think utility sector, it's pretty boring. It's been out of favor. It's oversold. Cycles are bottoming out. You know, usually when everyone is extremely bullish on stocks in general, we usually see utility stock sector pull back and fall out of favor. And that's what we've had. This is one of the kind of leading indicators that tells me when the large cap stocks, the S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ, are probably going to start to run into some headwinds and chop around and grind their way higher. And so right now, I kind of like the utility sector. We got long utility sector a couple of days ago, and we're just waiting for a bottom to form here because it looks like it's ready for more or less. As soon as we get a little bit of fear in the market, money's going to start searching for that safe haven because we've had a significant run and we need a pullback in stocks in general just to reset the market. So we're going to see money rotate into the safe havens like utilities and bonds, I think, fairly quickly as soon as we have one down day in the market.
Hey, it's been a long time since we had a down day, let alone a down week, you know. Some odd times, the indices hit record highs during 2017 and they've continued.
It's insane. It really is a full out, you know, bull market and everyone is buying. You should see some of the intraday price action in the volume. There's some big sellers stepping in and distributing shares, unloading large positions, slowly scaling out. And as soon as the selling kind of lets off, the average investor just piles back in and they just keep buying the price right back up. And, you know, the markets are hitting new highs. Volume has been fading for several months, getting lighter and lighter. We're running out of steam, but the big institutional players don't want to just unload their positions. They're slowly just, you know, unloading chunks here and there because they know this feeding frenzy could continue for a while and they're going to kind of milk it and let everyone run the prices up. And they'll just keep doing their occasional big dumping of shares and lightening their load until eventually they get scared. And then you start to see a bunch of the big guys unloading. And that's when we have one of those multi sell-off days or a big down week in the markets that could trigger the top. Or put the top in place.
Hey, so we're looking at the dollar down pretty substantially last year, 11% if memory serves me correct. And now it looks like it's kind of stabilizing, but it's at 92. Where's the dollar heading? So you mentioned probably a bit of a rally in the next couple of months, but is that going to last or are we going to see the dollar hit the skids as well?
Yeah, well, the dollar right now, I've got more or less this week and next week, I've got the dollar based on cycle and timing here. I've got the dollar starting a fairly significant significant rally. You never know how big a rally could go. We might just go to the recent highs that we saw a few months ago back in November, or we could rally all the way back up and see a pretty decent rally going forward that will definitely put some downward pressure on commodities. And I think this is one of the reasons why we're going to start to see commodities underperform, is because we could see a more or less a 6 or 8 week move higher. It doesn't mean it's going to be a strong rally. I just mean we could see the dollar push higher for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even a little bit longer. And that will put the downward pressure on commodities, more specifically the precious metals. But after that, I've got a very big downward move queued up here for the US dollar index, and we could see a massive drop in the dollar,
which would probably, we've seen oil break $60 the barrel, and that probably would have a salutary effect on oil as well, huh?
It would, for sure. If we see a strong rally in the dollar, we're going to see some pressure on oil. And oil's trading at a very sweet spot. It really needs to make up its mind in the next week here of if it's going to break out and hold above that $62 per barrel mark. It was tagged back in 2015 at that $62 per barrel mark, very key level in this multi-year basing formation that crude oil has formed. And if it can break out and hold, we could see a very strong rally in crude oil that could bring us right back up into the $80 per barrel mark from here. But we need to see how it's going to close on a weekly basis. And for more of a long-term investor, we want to see where it's going to close on a monthly basis, because this is a critical point here where a lot of times we see price run through these resistance levels and it could last for a week or so. But by the time the week is over or that month is finished, depending on the time frame you're looking for investing, that candle could close back down below there and it could be a very strong reversal signal. So a lot of people get sucked in on the wrong side of these trades right where crude oil is trading right now. So people could be getting long, and by the end of the month, this could be a big down bar, very strong reversal sign, and you should actually be shorting crude, and you have entered at the ultimate high, which is how the market loves to, you know, play people. It gets people in at the worst and out at the worst possible time. So I'm watching crude oil because it is set up for a very big rally or a very big sell-off. I just need to see what it's going to do from this resistance level.
Yeah, well, as I say, the market always seeks to frustrate the majority of participants. I don't want to call them investors because we're kind of past that in so many sectors. It's no longer investing. And then finally, Chris, so cryptocurrencies, I know you've been following them very closely. What are your opinions as far as what happened last year and what we might be in for this year?
Well, the whole cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrencies in general, because a lot of them do move in sync. Obviously, Bitcoin's the big one. It's had ridiculous price move. It's unbelievable, the price move that it's had. Everyone is piling in. I'm hearing Bitcoin commercials on the radio now. I've got random people who know absolutely nothing about the stock market. They know nothing about Bitcoin. They're calling me, how can I buy some? I want to buy some. And the fact that you can open a digital wallet in like 15 seconds and use your credit card to buy it, it's kind of like the whole the Forex, all those, you know, those really gambling, high leverage. It's just so easy for people to get in and get suckered into it. We're in the same stage in Bitcoin as we are in the stock market. It's euphoria. Everybody just feels like they're missing out and they want in, and they don't care what the heck it is or how much risk there is. They just want to get in. So we are in that final big push. We might have another big push up in Bitcoin yet, but really we need to, you know, you got to be aware that if you are getting into Bitcoin and it has a nice rally from this point forward, you should be probably looking to protect yourself to the downside and potentially sell some, because this is the character. These are the exact characteristics of a blow off top, and it's going to end in a very, you know, abrupt way.
And if you've been in Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies and you've made 10, 20, 100 times on your money, hey, maybe sell half, two-thirds of it and let the rest ride, right?
Oh, yeah. I always scale out. If I've got a position in something, I always slowly, you know, sell some as it rises. And there's nothing wrong with taking profits. And I always keep a chunk for that Hail Mary, like this thing could still quadruple from here, but you never know, right? And if you don't take profits, you eventually give it back, because whatever goes up usually comes back down to some extent. And buying it at this price, I think it's highly likely it'll be trading below here, say a year from now or less.
Yeah, you know, and it moves so quickly, Bitcoin. It moves like no other market we've ever seen, because it's all digital. And sentiment and information. Information's bad in the market, even though it appears to be very transparent and very good. I believe that information is really lacking in the cryptocurrency market. You don't really know what the majors are doing.
Yeah. And the one thing that, you know, there's a couple things here that Bitcoin and digital currencies don't have. They don't have circuit breakers. They don't have, just like the stock market, if you have a really bad, bad day and something, some catastrophe happens, stock market closes and halts it. So it just doesn't keep crashing. There isn't that in the currency market. We're seeing 25, 30% moves in Bitcoin. And that's during a bull market and people really aren't that afraid. It's just waves of profit taking. And, you know, wait till there is real fear. There's no circuit breaker. You wake up in the morning, it's down 25%. You're like, okay, well, I should recover by the end of the day or maybe tomorrow, because that's the way it seems to move. Then you wake up the next morning or by the end of the day, it's down another 30 or 40%. You know, it's scary. And a lot of people don't realize, like, don't know how they're going to get out of Bitcoin. Sure, you can go to an exchange and swap your Bitcoin for another cryptocurrencies, but overlay the currencies, they kind of move all together, just like the broad market. When the stock market falls, almost all the stocks fall. They kind of all overlay each other. So you need to have an exit route to get out of digital currencies when you want out. And then when you want back in, you can enter into digital currencies. You don't want to just sell Bitcoin and buy Ethereum or something else, because they're going to fall too.
It's so funny, because if somebody wanted to dump 25, 30,000 coins in a day, the market would just go down so far, because there's only 400 plus thousand transactions a day in Bitcoin, which is more than probably all the others put together.
Yeah.
And, you know, the market would just fall to pieces because there's not real liquidity. One friend of mine said, you should just plan to take $15,000 out of Bitcoin per week, God willing that your holdings are that high.
Yeah.
Just keep taking 15,000 every Friday and, you know, do it over time and reduce your holdings. There's so many people, you know, with major 7-8-figure paper profits in this, Chris. I mean, a lot of people.
Oh, it's crazy. I know a couple of people who have, they're younger than I am. They're they're late 20s, and they've already made a couple million dollars off currencies. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, they got involved a long time ago, and they bought a whole bunch, and they kept accumulating. And but, you know, they're not traders. So I kind of try and tell them, like, hey, you got to take some of your money at some point, because you're sitting there with a fat paper profit. But if you keep buying it and adding it, when it rolls over, you're going to get slaughtered. Like, you know, if you've got a lotto ticket, a retirement ticket, take it out or take half of it out. But so many people, they're all letting it ride. And that's one of the reasons why this Bitcoin is going exponential. People don't want to sell it, because 3 days later or a month later, they're kicking themselves saying, oh, I could have doubled my money again. And that's what creates this massive rally. So all these people sitting there with huge paper gains laughing, they might not be laughing, you know, so much in a month or a year from now, saying, they'll be like, why didn't I sell it at 18,000 or 16,000? That was crazy.
Why did I buy it at 16,000?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean,
yeah, that's it. This is, everybody here is going to be, most people will be saying that, because right now is the general mass is buying in tons of small transactions, and they're the ones who are going to be going, why did I buy it up there? Yeah.
Hey, it's a classic mania, right?
Yep, it is. Full mania. Who knows how high it'll go, but you better beware. It's going to change.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, one other question on silver. Obviously, till gold moves, silver isn't going to go anyplace. But when gold does move, what are you anticipating for silver?
I think silver, you know, they're going to move more or less together. They don't always move together, but I actually am a little more bullish on silver. I really like the chart. Typically, silver doesn't give me really nice, clean looking charts. But over the last couple of years, I really have kind of grown to like the price action of silver and the way it's been forming this big multi-year basing formation and the recent price action. And to me, I think silver has got probably a lot more upside potential than gold. And I think it could rally first. You know, it's more affordable. It's the price charts just look screaming bullish in the long term. Like down at this level here, I'm really hoping we get a little pullback in silver back down to the 1550 or 16 range, because I think after that, I think it's, you know, I think we're off to the races. And I have silver actually putting in a bottom in about 3 or 4 weeks and then potentially having a very strong run back up to the 1850 mark. So I really do like silver more so than gold. And, you know, you look at all the new technology coming out, there's so much silver being used in solar panels. It just keeps expanding the amount of silver. So I like it a lot.
All right. Well, hey, so silver is looking good. Hey, well, we appreciate you coming on as always, and find Chris's work over at thetechnicaltraders.com. We'll have a link to it in the show notes to this interview. Again, be part of the show, participate, send us emails, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter handle is @carrylutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Networks. Put up a lot of funny articles. The last couple of days is just the absurdity of things when these manias take place. You got to love it. And Chris, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure, Carrie. Thanks very much.
All right. Good luck for the coming year.
All right. You too. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.